This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It is Money Thursday, and we will be talking about our financial matters, particularly our relationship with money, the relationship that us as students need to have with our money. And we will be having this conversation with a representative from Nedbank, Ms. Fundi Zuma. Ms. Zuma, are you with us?
Thank you for having me today, and I'd also like to greet the listeners of MUT Radio.
We are more than happy to have you. We are glad to have you. During times like these, I think the discussion around money is important to have.
It's very, very important, especially in these trying times. We know what has happened globally, you know, due to COVID, and what has happened because of looting, and, you know, also bearing in mind the fact that we had a high rate of unemployed people in our country. Mm. So it's very important for us to address the issues we have around finances. Yeah.
Right. So as students and with us earning an SFAS and trying to balance having enough money to buy things that we need, like groceries and so on and so forth, and still have enough to put aside for ourselves or for whatever reason, what kind of relationship should we start having with our money, especially with it being as limited as it is and things being as expensive as they are?
So basically, Owami, we grew up, you know, around families who raised us in a particular way, and there are certain values around money that they teach us, as well as how we look at money. So what we are going to be doing for the next couple of days is looking at those types of values or relationships. I must say we have, at Nedbank, we have worked with a very qualified psychologist to actually put together these money archetypes, which means we've got 8 money archetypes, which means we've got 8 different relationships when it comes to money. So we're going to do 2 today, and it's very important for the listeners to actually listen to these money archetypes so that they are able to say, okay, this actually speaks to me. I'm more or less this person, or I'm more the other person. And then we look at the reasons why we could become, you know, we would have those kind of values or that relationship with money. And we also look at what we can do, what's good about it and what's negative about it, and what's most important is how we can fix it. So we are going to look at the gifter today and also the big shot. Mm. So basically what the gifter does is somebody who gives you gifts with strings attached. This person is charismatic and is a leader. They love to spend on luxury, or they like to provide financial support to others. Right. And they really have the potential to do good. So it's basically somebody who has money and they'd like to actually gift or give financial support to people. Mm. So the only thing is that the negative thing is that they give you gifts with strings attached. Mm. A gifter expects something in return. When I give you something, when I give you my money, I expect something in return. They feel like they own people. And that is why we see a lot of relationships, you know, between couples, you know, really hit a rocky patch, because maybe someone was actually very financially stable and providing to this person, and so this person who's been provided to might want to end that relationship, but the gifter will not allow them to end the relationship. You know why? Because they feel like they own this person. Somebody will buy you a cell phone and expect to have access to that cell phone, or a car.
Right. That totally makes sense. Now, from a financial perspective, what are some of the dangers of being the recipients in these kind of gifter-gifty relationships?
So it becomes an unhealthy relationship, which might lead to abuse. Hence the reason why we have an increase around GBV, because some of the issues are associated with ilentuzan, with money. Mm. And we see people end up killing each other. It's because of these reasons. So one thing that we can do, or we can advise the gifter, is that they should not neglect to save for the future. It's good to do good for other people, but don't expect anything in return. And also, make a plan or an appointment to meet up with a financial planner, because a financial planner will help you prioritize where and how to spend your money on. Remember, we're having these conversations because we want to build a legacy. We want to build wealth. So that is why we're having these conversations. Gone are the days where we're just living for the moment or we're living for the now. So it's very important for you to sit down with a financial planner, have a financial budget, and make sure that you are financially secure, not only for today, but for the future, and leave a legacy for your community because you are a gifter and for your next generation to come. So now we're moving on to the big shot, which is money archetype number two.
Right. Tell us a bit more about the big shot money archetype.
As you can hear the name, the big shot, so it's somebody who has money and will spend very loudly, you know. So this person is very successful, self-made, and likes to be the center of attention. And it's one of those people who like arriving in style. They love luxury items, and they're probably famous, you know, in the community, because obviously if he or she spends loudly, then they've got to be famous in the community. So it's basically those people, you know, when you go out to have drinks or lunch, they'll tell you that, you see all these people that are here, I'm paying for their bills.
And they buy the whole table and they rent out the whole table with champagne and sparklers all over the place. Oh my.
It's those kind of people. Right. And you are successful at work, you know, because of them, they'll make sure that everybody knows that, hello, I made this person. So this big shot has potential to live beyond their means. Obviously, if you like, you know, being the center of attention, you'll go to any extent just to make sure that you are the center of attention. They like chasing empty praises from people, failing to channel their wealth and securing a future and building a legacy. So obviously, it's those people, you know, when you come across them, they like those, hey, siyabonga chief, hey, usebenzile chief, hey, boss, you know, hey, well done, this and that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they want. It makes them feel good about themselves. The sad thing is they might have, you know, grown up without money, and so they still have those emotional scars, which may lead them to compulsion to reaffirm their achievements. So they need that reaffirmation every once in a while that, hello, yes, I have achieved. So the only sad part is, again, they need instant gratification. So if you want to be happy now, you spend your money because you want to be happy now, and they forget to plan for the long term. So they don't have any long-term plans. They only have short-term plans, and they might even end up going into debt. Because the reason why they'll go into debt is because they want to make sure they keep the consistent level, you know, of being the big shots. You can never bump into them broke, or you can never bump into them eating cheap food or cheap or drinking cheap alcohol or whatever. So they need to maintain that level of being the big shots. So the same applies with the big shots that we have said towards the gifter.
Right.
They need to use their wealth for good, and they need to focus more on their savings and investments. And, of course, they need to make a plan to pay off their debts. So it's why we're saying pay off their debts. They might end up, you know, applying for loans and applying for, like, massive credit cards, because they need to make sure that every Friday I'm seen at a certain place, you know, doing golisamata fula, basically.
So when, let's say, for example, myself, I happen to be one of those lucky people that wins a large lottery jackpot, right? And I've got all this money. Just as an example, I've got all this money. What are the risks when I adopt that kind of big shot lifestyle? When I no longer think about ways to grow the money, but ways to spend it.
We will see you on I Blew It.
Oh,
we will definitely see you on that show. I Blew It.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
But on a serious note, you know, research has actually proved that all those people who have won the lotto, you know, even if they were like struggling, but, you know, after winning the lotto, when they left with no money, they actually become worse than what they were before they won the lotto. They become worse. And you know what makes them worse? It's because once you win a lotto, we are Pumelokshini, you go buy a place in Sanga, rates, you change your car, and then what's not, and you forget that there's no money coming in. Maybe you've even sold your place, but that is set of shin. And then when you struggle, when you've used all your lottery money, you'd be like, okay, so where do I go now? Do I need to go back to that place?
Right.
You can't, because you have sold that place. You could not relate to that place anymore. You've sold everything that you had before you won the lotto, because you have started this new life. So you literally are going back 10 steps backwards, because you were more focused on how to spend money. So whether you're winning the lotto or you're getting 5 rands that you were not expecting to get, it's very important for us to have this mindset of asking ourselves, instead of me using this 5 rand to buy data or airtime, how can I use it to make me another 5 rands?
Wow.
If you apply that mentality with your 5 rands, obviously when you win your 10,000, your million or whatever, you have gotten used to the habit of making more income from the money that you initially had.
So it's less about the amount of money that you're saving and more about the actual saving itself and growing it as a habit.
I like that. It's not about how much you have. It's about how you use it.
Wow. That is definitely some advice we all need to follow. That is especially the saving part. Right now, things are looking bad. Things are kind of tough. And the more money we save, the more we'll be able to at least breathe a bit of a sigh of relief.
Yeah, and that's where we make the biggest mistake. You know what the stats say? I'll tell you what the stats say in our country. 3 out of 5 South Africans are living beyond their means. It means that majority of us are living the life that we cannot afford. And it's very true. If I am buying something on credit, it means I cannot afford it. Because if I afforded it, I would be able to buy it cash. And then again, 80% of small businesses fail. You know why they fail. It's because of bad cash flow management. So it means that my money habits that I have, you know, personally, in my personal finances, I bring those habits into the business. Hence the reason why a lot of small businesses do not grow here in South Africa, because our personal finances are not good.
Right.
And then 1 in 3 South Africans have lost money investing in pyramid schemes. And we love them so much in South Africa. Find those WhatsApp stock files, you find those triple M's, you find a lot of things happening here.
Right.
And people do not want to wait. They want quick returns. Hence, others withdraw their pension money because they heard there was a deal. If you put 70,000, you'll be getting 15,000 every month, and only to find 3 months, 4 months down the line, all your money is gone and you cannot locate those people.
Wow.
So, yeah, we still have a very long way to go. We really still need to be taught around how to build wealth. And patience is key. When you're building wealth, when you're building a legacy, patience is key. Because everybody who's wealthy right now, they did not become wealthy overnight. But it was a work in progress, which took years, months, days, and hours.
Wow. Well, we really do appreciate the time that you could give to us, breaking down some of these archetypes, as well as, you know, giving us a little advice along the way. We really appreciate your input.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.